I'm excited about our new series kicking off called 40 Days of Prayer. And if you weren't here last week, I encourage you to go to the website, go to the podcast, and just check out that first week. And I have to admit to you, when it comes to, or maybe it's a confession to you, the whole subject of prayer is gigantic. I just typed in prayer into Amazon.com, and it brought up 100,000 books and resources on prayer. And I thought, you know, let me type in prayer videos on Google, and it brought up 217 million results. In terms of videos on prayer, resources in prayer. I mean, then there was just some weird stuff, like how to do small prayers, body prayers, prayer email, forms of prayer. You can even do computer prayer, prayers of progress. And I mean, I'm like, okay, this is so weird, and it's just so vast. I think there are 4 million books, if you type that into Google, on prayer, and I think there's another 6 million news articles. So I'm thinking, gosh, that's a lot of information to put into 40 days. So I'm thinking this may end up being like the 40 days and then overtime. You know, 40 days, and then it might end up being 60 or 70 days of prayer. But what I want to do today is I've called it this, the simple do-it-yourself guide to prayer. And let me just mention, there's a little prayer guide that you can grab at the information center on your way out. And I encourage you for 40 days just to read these verses and to pray these verses. So let me just give you a couple of observations about prayer. And the first one is this: I absolutely believe we are wired to pray. Our Creator created us in such a way that prayer is natural. Everybody in the entire world at some point prays. Buddhists pray, Hindus pray, Muslims pray, Jews pray, Christians pray, even atheists talk to God. You say, how's that possible? You show me an atheist who hits his finger with a hammer and they're talking about things with God. I am telling you. And every one of us prays, but obviously we're going to say something different. But there is an internal desire in every human being to pray. As a matter of fact, that's what makes you a human. Animals don't pray. I mean, I've never heard a cow pray. Birds don't pray. Definitely,
Lord, we ask
cats
that you
don't
bless
pray.
This food and nourish our bodies. We're very grateful and appreciative for everything we have. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good boy.
Thank you for the food that we're about to eat. Thank you for all the graces bestowed upon us. Take care of Mommy and Daddy and all our loved ones. Please keep us healthy. Amen.
Thank you for this food that we are about to receive. And Lord, may all the dogs in the shelter get a warm embrace and a new loving home. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, for this food. Thank you for this day. We pray you bless this food. In Jesus' name, amen.
I mean, come on. You're never going to hear a cat pray. I can guarantee you that. Maybe a dog. But worms don't pray. We don't pray. And that's what makes you different from animals. God has created in us something that's a genetic code. We were engineered by God to pray. This is what the Bible says. You can see this up on the screen. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says this: God has placed eternity in the human heart. What that's saying is that you have an eternal soul. It means that You have this thing inside of you, and sometimes it's a struggle that says, is it just the now? Or is there something more? Is it just right now, and that's as good as it gets, and that's where it is? Or is there something beyond this? It's a universal trait, and every one of us is wired to pray. Here's observation number two. I believe this, that we feel inadequate when it comes to prayer. And we know it. I believe God has wired us to pray, but when it comes to prayer, we feel inadequate and we know it. I mean, we say things like this. I don't know how to pray, or I'm not really sure that I'm going to get the what to pray. I don't know how to say it. I mean, if I just right now pointed at somebody and said, hey, come up here and pray for us. You would need prayer. You would probably faint because we're like, yeah, I don't know. I need you to hear something really important right now. If you hear nothing else that I'm saying, please listen to this. God does not want you to feel like your prayers are second class and they're not as good as somebody like me who's paid to be a pastor. You have to understand this, because everybody feels awkward. Everybody feels like, I don't know how to do it, and I'd like to be better at it. I mean, think about this. The disciples of Jesus, the 12 people that he picked to do life with him on earth while he was here, they didn't really know how to pray. And these are the guys who hung out with Jesus. This is what it says in Luke chapter 1. One day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, if you just kind of park there for a moment, this is amazing, because they saw Jesus teach, and they didn't say, hey, could you teach us to teach? They saw Jesus do crazy miracles. I mean, amazing things, and they didn't say, hey, could you teach us how to do miracles? When they observed Jesus and how he communicated with the Father, they said, okay, do you mind teaching us how to pray? You've got to hear this. God does not want you to feel lousy about your prayer life. God does not want you to think that talking to him is so difficult. And I want to just kind of talk about another misconception that happens with prayer. And I think it makes prayer frustrating. I think it makes prayer boring. And I think it makes prayer completely misunderstood. And that's this. There are too many misconceptions when it comes to how and when we should pray. I mean, there's a lot of false information out there. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of legends. There's misconceptions. And as the last 30 years as a pastor, I think I've heard a bunch of them. Let me just give you just a couple of them. I want to say it this way. Prayer is not a magic wand. Like, prayer is not this genie in the bottle thing where, okay, hey, God, I have this little magical potion called prayer, and I'm going to rub the prayer bottle, and God's going to pop out and go, hello, your request is my, you know, opportunity to serve you. It doesn't work that way. You know, God's not a genie. As a matter of fact, God is not your servant. He created you to serve him. Prayer is not, how do I say this? It's not just some ritual that you kind of rub the bottle and God's going to do what you want him to do. Some mysterious and magical thing is going to happen. Here's another misconception. We look at prayer a lot of times as like a fire extinguisher, and prayer is not a fire extinguisher. So I'll give you how this works. When everything's going well, you got it. You're not praying. You're not talking to God. Everything's going well. And then when things start to fall apart, you pull out this, you know, this huge fire extinguisher, and I mean, you're shooting prayers everywhere. You're like last night, or let me think, Friday night when I was flying home, I was getting the, you know, it was snowing like crazy in Des Moines. I didn't know if I was going to be able to fly out. And then I'm thinking about, okay, Arkansas, the weather isn't looking really good. And so I'm flying in, and there's lightning so close to our plane, I'm hearing thunder inside. I was praying kind of the fire extinguisher way. You know, Lord, I love you. I feel close to you right now, like really closer than, I don't know, land this bird. I mean, we do that. And prayer's not supposed to, or we go, I don't know what else to do. I mean, like, it's in God's hands now. All we can do is pray. Like it's that bad. Like forget praying when things are going well. Forget just having a life of prayer. No, when it's bad. And I mean really bad. Then we've got to pray. What? I know prayer is sometimes awkward, but God wants to hear you pray. We have our sweet little grandbaby Thorin, and before he knew how to say Papa, I still loved him. I mean, I didn't go, dude, if you don't talk to me, no. I mean, I'm crazy about this kid, and I think the first time he's like, that was me. He said my name. I don't know if it was my name. I just thought it was my name or close to my name. And I don't think you understand. This is how God looks at you. If you're not praying, God's looking at you and going, I love you so much. I am so committed to you. I engineered you genetically that you would seek something outside of yourself, that you would say there's something more than just the here and now. And we don't quite understand that. Matter of fact, here's another misconception when it comes to prayer, that prayer really is kind of a tug of war. People have this opinion that God doesn't want to listen to you. God's not super concerned about your little deal. He's got bigger things to do, and you know, if you don't get serious, God's not going to answer. And so we pray prayers like, God, please. I mean, please, 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 pretty please. God, with sugar on top. And then, like, we think if we say it 92 times, finally we're going to just wear God out. Oh my goodness, would they quit yapping? Yes, I'll give them the answer to their prayer. And that's not what prayer is about. By the way, let me just add to that. God doesn't play with you, let's make a deal. Hey God, this is going to be so good. If you do this, I'm gonna do this. And you're so lucky, God, because if you do that, I'm going to do this. God, it just works so well. You help me, and then I'll help you, you lucky God you are. And God's going, huh? Who are you? You can't bribe me. You're not going to wear me down by vain repetition. Do you understand that Jesus teaches the exact opposite to what I just said in terms of prayer and the Bible? There's some stories in the Bible, and a lot of times you call them parables. where Jesus says, this is something that happened, and I want to show you this is what God's like. And then he gives another example. This is kind of something that happened, and I want to give this example so you realize this is not what God is like. And there's one parable. It's about this woman who is needing justice. But justice isn't coming, and so she goes to the judge. And, I mean, she is just going on and on and on and on and on. And finally, the judge gives in and says, okay, you are wearing me out. I don't like you. I don't care about anything, but to get you out of my courtroom, basically he says, I'll grant you what you need. Well, here's the point of that parable. Jesus goes on to say, this is not how God is. Do you understand? You were wired to pray. And we get goofy in our nation. Hey, we don't have prayer in this, we don't have prayer in that, you're not allowed to pray here, not allowed to pray there. However, when there's a catastrophic event, everybody's praying. We can't get it out of us. When there is something that just is horrific and it's super bad, we pray. But you have to understand, we're not only wired to pray, we feel inadequate to pray, and because we feel inadequate, it's a little frustrating, it's a little awkward, and we don't know, like, if I don't say the words right, am I going to make God mad and he's not going to do it? And then some of us in the church world, we think, you know, hey, just keep going longer, 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 it's going to make it stronger, 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 and that's not true either. Let me give just another misconception. And this may not relate to everybody, but I think it's going to relate to a few of you, and you'll understand this. Prayer was never meant to be a ritual to relieve guilt. Some of us grew up where we were taught, if you sin, and it's a big sin, then there's a tradition that says you pray a number of times and you're good. You know, I mean, depending on how big the sin is, depends on how many times that you repeat your ritual, and then you're going to be absolved of this type of sin. And the problem here is that Jesus never taught this. Jesus taught the exact opposite of this. Prayer is not like some punishment or penance for your sin. We've got the whole thing wrong. Prayer is a privilege. God, you're the creator of everything, and you want to talk to me. I kid you not, anytime I see our little grandbaby, I am head over heels. Well, that's not totally true. Sometimes when he's in our house, I'm head over heels and also terrified as to what he can do. I've got this kind of, again, a different perception of God. Even if Thorne doesn't say anything to me, I'm crazy about him. He's our grandbaby. And when I think of God and I think of you, even if you don't talk to him, I mean, there's times where Natalie will be driving and I'll call her and I'll say, hi, Thorne. And Natalie will say, Thorne, say hi to Papa. No. Hi, Thorne, sweet boy. Oh, I love you so much. Say hi to Papa. No. Well, I don't go, could you, you know, just drop him off at the corner. I mean, I'm like, oh, he's having a bad day. I love that kid. I don't know if I'm being clear, but you understand when God looks at you, he's not going, oh, gosh. He's actually excited to talk to you. He's actually excited to be in a conversation with you. He's actually excited that he's not your last resort, but that he could possibly be your first resort. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, it's kind of a big deal. And Jesus is talking about prayer, and he says this, when you pray, don't use meaningless repetitions. In other words, when you just say the same thing over and over and over again. When you pray, don't use meaningless repetitions. Now, I want to make sure we have clarity here, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. If you feel bad when you sin, you should. And you should confess that sin. That's what John wrote in the latter part of his life. In 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of unrighteousness. So if you sin, I hope you feel bad. I hope I feel bad. And we should confess our sins to the one who is faithful and just to not only forgive us, but to cleanse us. But it doesn't have to be some vain repetition. Say this over and over and over and over again, and then maybe God will hear me. He already heard the first time. So in the next 40 days, we're going to talk about what does it look like to have a prayer life that is not a burden, that's not super boring. I know you feel inadequate. I feel inadequate. I remember a time I was on a trip in Mexico, and we were doing a whole lot of good, and a lady came out and said, hey, could you pray for my mom? I'm like, of course we'll pray for your mom, and I believe that God will heal your mom. Well, I was all gung-ho and super excited, and then mom came out. And the problem is that mom's calf looked as big as mom's thigh. And they said, we don't know what to do. Would you pray for God's healing? And I'm just being honest with you. I thought, I can't pray for this. I feel way too inadequate. And that's kind of what happened. And literally, I thought, Jim, don't just pray a fake prayer. It's probably better for you not to pray right now. And I felt so inadequate. Here I was a pastor, and I just couldn't do it. And so I had the others. I didn't tell them at that moment, you know, sorry, I don't think your mom can be healed of this, or, you know, so I'm not going to pray. I know that God answers prayers. I've been a pastor a long time and literally have seen miracles of God, seen people actually healed and seen lives restored and marriages restored and addictions reversed. I've seen all those things. But there was that moment in my life, you know, you fake it till you make it. I couldn't even fake it and make it. So come on, I get it. I get it if you're going, ah, Jim, whatever you do, don't ever ask me to come up and pray. I don't know how to pray. I don't know how long to pray. I don't know what words to pray. And so for 40 days, maybe 70, we're going to talk about prayer and to help prayer be something that you can actually practice on a daily basis and have it change your life. Literally, learning how to pray has changed my life. And I'm not standing here saying I'm holier than thou, but I'm telling you, if you can understand prayer the way I do, which is pretty simplistic, it will help you. And I've told you this before. I'm not the guy who says, oh, yeah, it's no problem. I can just sit for 3 hours and pray. I've told you many times, I sit for 3 minutes and pray, and all of a sudden I'm thinking about burritos and all kinds of stuff. And you've done the same thing too. We're like, Lord, I love you so much. Oh, I hope they put guacamole on that. I mean, you're like, what? How did I pray? God, I'm going to get like struck dead. Let me do that again. Lord, I pray. Oh, carne asada, Lord. And then you like start thinking, this is part of my prayer. Lord, thank you for making cows and thank you for carne asada. You bless everything, Lord. And then you're like, what? We're going to talk about this next week. There's four pillars of prayer. Everything we talk about is based on these things. And I'm going to surprise you. God is interested in carne asada. God is interested. Oh, he is. I'm telling you, he likes guacamole. Here's the deal. Thorin likes things, and because he likes it, you know what happens? I like it. And if you think God's in a relationship with you and he doesn't care about the things you like, he does care about the things you like. And one of the things we do, and I'm not going to go too far into next week, but here's the reality. We only think we can pray like, oh, got to make it sound good. God wants to know that you like carne asada. He wants to know that you're struggling with your diet. I mean, not that you are, but I do think we ran out of donuts. I'm just saying. I mean, you think God doesn't care about that stuff? He does. Do you know why? You were engineered genetically to think about God. Truth is, we feel kind of inadequate at times, don't we? Truth is, sometimes we don't pray until there's a major crisis and ask God to show up. Truth is, we think God's a genie, and if we say the right potion, the right direction, he's going to answer every one of our prayers. Then we get frustrated. Then we get angry about prayer, and we don't understand it, and it's boring. And these exact things, maybe not the carne asada thing, but the other things we are going to talk about for the next 40 days. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. Because here's what's going to happen. I don't mean to be the bearer of good news or bad news. Some of you are going to take this seriously, and you're going to try to be here every week, and when you're not here, you're going to listen to the podcast. And next year, right now, your life is going to be different. It's going to be better. I mean, you're going to have a relationship that's closer to Jesus. And some of you are going, you know what? I don't want to do it. And I get it. There's like no pressure. But you're going to still be in the mud you're in right now. You're going to still be in the muck you're in right now. And nothing's going to change. And prayer's going to be frustrating. You're going to be angry. And you're going to be upset and go, God, where are you? And he's saying, I'm right here. Where are you? So I'm just telling you right up front, I want to grow in my prayer life. It's super important to me. And I've seen God do miracles because of a prayer life that matters. And so next week, four pillars of prayer, and I think it's different than you think it is. This isn't complicated. I mean, this is basically a simple do-it-yourself guide to prayer that you will be able to pick up on. One last thing, and then we're done. There is somebody who you work with or somebody that you know who's struggling. And I guarantee you, if they could learn how to communicate to the Creator, their life would be better. Invite them to church. Invite them to help. Say, hey, we're learning this stuff about how to have a better life. And we all feel inadequate about this, but I'm telling you, you might want to just come check it out. And that's exactly what we're going to do the next 40 days. The bottom line, I want to help you deepen your relationship with God. I want to help you come closer and have more of a friendship with God Almighty. Truth is, we need to know him better. Sometimes we just don't know how to do it. Okay, let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Don't be thinking about carne asada when I'm praying. I can just see it on some of you. You're thinking dip, chips, burgers. All right. I'm going to bless the food so you don't have to at lunch. I'm going to bless it right now. God, thank you. I thank you for what we're going to eat for lunch. I can look at this group and I know they're going to eat. And Lord, you love right this second that we're acknowledging you. You're not ashamed of us. I'm going to pray some dumb prayer, and God, you love it. You absolutely love it. You love when we talk to you. We're engineered for this. God, would you help us in the next 40 to 60, whatever days it is, to simply be able to communicate with you more, to know you more, and not only just to talk to you, but would you teach us how to listen so you can speak to us? God, I pray from the bottom of my heart that these great people here at Hope Church today, they will fall in love with you the way you already love them. And I ask you to take your words and touch their hearts. Bless them, I pray today. God, go with us as we go. God, may your face shine upon us. May you radiate about us. God, may knowing you bring us peace no matter what this week brings. God, thank you for these friends coming here today. The next 40 days, God, we give it up to you and pray, oh God, ask you, oh God, to touch us that we might know you better and live the kind of life you actually intended for us to live. Jesus, in your precious name we pray, amen. God bless you this morning. You're dismissed.